Today, I would like to talk about seven important instructions which God considers excellent and profitable for people. Now, notice that God didn't simply prefer these things, or they were nice things to do, or even good things to do, which obviously they are. But this was described as excellent and profitable for people, these seven things. So the Bible says in Ephesians 5:10, one of our favorite verses, find out what pleases the Lord. So if we want to find out what pleases the Lord, certainly this jumps out at me as to want to know and then implement these seven things that are excellent and profitable for people. So let's look into these seven important teachings that God considers with such high value for His people to follow. Those things are found in Titus, the third chapter. And before breaking these seven things down, I want to do a very quick overview of this chapter to put these seven things into better context. Now, in this, the third chapter of Titus, we see that Paul is ending his short letter to the preacher Titus, and these are his final and only words of his only letter to Titus. So they may have been among the most important of all. You know, a lot of times people leave the most important things, they will re-emphasize them in the final words that they have to say to someone. And Paul is reminding Titus of a few important teachings that he should be passing on to the churches. That's really important. That's one of the things that I like so much about the pastoral epistles, you know, 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, to the preachers. Because if we know what the preachers should be preaching to the churches, then that means we know what should be important for us as people who may not be preachers to be emphasizing in our own Christian lives as we read through the scriptures and through these pastoral epistles. So Paul is reminding Titus of a few important teachings he should be passing on to the churches so that those Christians like us today could live in a way that pleases our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the whole purpose of everything that we do. It's to please our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not all the churches in the New Testament were pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that it is certainly possible that we not please Christ. So we want to make sure that we do the things that He wants us to do in order to please Him. An example of a church that wasn't doing that is found in Revelation 3, verse 1, the church at Sardis. Listen to what Jesus said. These are chilling words. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but are dead." Another translation puts it this way. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So this is really scary. I wonder how many churches today Christ could say that of, that are in our church directory. They have a reputation of being alive, but in His view, they are dead. So here's what Jesus said to this church. Be watchful, verse 2, and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. All right, so those are chilling words. So when we go back to Titus and consider these excellent things that we're instructed to do, well, that just, I think, would add emphasis to them. Remember, therefore, how, not what, but how you received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He didn't say, just remember what we told you. He said, remember how you received it. Obviously, they had a much better attitude at one point about doing God's will. Remember how you received it. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you do not watch, if you do not wake up, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And those are very frightening verses to a church that was considered alive. It had a reputation of being alive, but it was dead. So in the first part of this chapter, Paul, back to Titus 3, Paul starts with some important reminders about learning to be obedient and respectful of people around us. He reminds Titus to remind his hearers where they came from and how much God had done for them through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said in Titus 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." That describes a lot of people in the world today, and that's what Jesus Christ has brought us out of. He's brought us out of having malice and envy and hating people, hating one another, have been enslaved to the passions of the flesh. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then he says this, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things." What thing? Well, I think that possibly they could include the seven things he talks about before this that I've on purpose skipped, because I want to circle back to it here after going through this brief overview. But he says, I want to insist on these things that he's been speaking of here, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things, I think it includes the good works and also the things he just mentioned from verse 1. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So that's what we want to talk about, these things that are excellent and profitable for people. He says, there are many who are insubordinate. That means they're disobedient people, all right? They're disobedient, they're empty talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision party. That's the folk that were holding on to the law of Moses and teaching that you must observe tenets of the law of Moses in order to be saved. And he says, those must be silenced since they are upsetting whole households, whole families, by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. All right? So now this next section here is warning to divisive people in the church there that Titus was dealing with. Now, you know, we're certainly going to have our differences, but we must be careful not to divide the church and disfellowship others over most of our differences that we may have. A few, of course, however, will have to be handled in a more serious manner, such as these examples that Paul here is using, referring to these people dividing the church. Here's what he said in Titus 3:9. He said, avoid foolish controversies. Now, my previous reading was from Titus chapter 1, excuse me, not Titus 3, but Titus 1. But he said, avoid foolish controversies, speaking about those same people he's speaking of in Titus 1, the ones stirring up whole families, those that were focusing on Old Testament-type teachings. Avoid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. That's the law of Moses. They are unprofitable and worthless. For a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. So we must not be advancing teachings that are, first of all, false, and then also dividing the church in this particular case. And he says, knowing that such a person, people who advance these things like these people of the circumcision party were doing and causing great harm to the church, they were dividing the church and they were teaching it for what? For profit. So usually follow the money. You may have heard the term follow the money to find out the source of things that are happening. Many false teachers are, virtually all of them, are motivated by money. They're motivated. There's no point in teaching these things unless they're going to receive some sort of a benefit from teaching them. So they are often dominated by greed, as Peter said in 2 Peter, the second chapter, and so forth. Anyway, warn them once and warn them a second time, and after that, disassociate from them. Okay, so that's what we call today disfellowshipping. So you disassociate from those people. Now, Lana and I were looking this up just prior to starting this morning, and I asked how many words are there in the New Testament, how many English words were there, was what I was after. And it turns out there are almost 140,000 New Testament Greek words and about 170,000 English words, because Greek is a more compact language requiring more words to be translated properly into English. So anyway, so think about it. We've got 170,000 or more actually, English words in the New Testament alone. And those words are divided into many sentences, and those sentences are clumped together into doctrinal teachings. And those doctrinal teachings are quite a few. So there's no way we're going to agree on everything. There's absolutely no way. These men were coming here teaching these bad things. Maybe some of those teachings could be held to themselves and fine. But when they started teaching them to others, they became a problem and divisive. And therefore, they had to disassociate with those people. But the point is, we're going to have differences in the church. And it's just unavoidable. Think of it, 170,000 words in the New Testament. It's absurd to think we're going to be agreeing on all things. So the Bible gives us, therefore, instructions. I'm not going to be talking about that this morning, obviously, on how we should work together and handle our disagreements in a non-divisive manner if possible. And finally, the last part of Titus, he ends it up, verse 12. He's going to send Artemis and Tychicus to you and give some instructions there. And he talks about Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos, send them on their way, in other words, so that they lack nothing. And then he ends up in verse 14. Now, I did not read, I guess I skipped over the reading from chapter 1 about where he talked about the Cretans there. As he talked to Titus, his introductory words, he says, one of their own people said that Cretans are liars, gluttons, and a few other unflattering things. He said that they're liars and gluttons and lazy. And the Apostle Paul said, these things are true. This person said about the Cretans, his own people, I guess, they are true. And you see now, as we read down through Titus 3, how much that Paul is emphasizing that you need to get to work and not be lazy, not be a person who is lazy and insubordinate and all of those things and liars and so forth. So he says here, to conclude Titus, he repeats it again. These are his last words to Titus. He says, let your people learn to devote themselves to good works. He's already emphasized that like two or three times already in this very chapter alone. Devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. And then he finally says this, all who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Now, this is one of the many verses that I gloss over. Verses like this, verse 15. Greet so-and-so and let so-and-so greet so-and-so and so forth. And it is so important that the church learns to do that. Today's church is negligent in this in many places and many other things that we need to be improving on, but not to be spoken of this morning. But the greeting is one of those things that seems so innocuous, so unimportant, but they were big on greeting one another. Listen to what Paul said. All who are with me send you greeting. So everyone with him sends Titus greetings. And he tells Titus, greet those who love us in the faith. So greeting is so important. And I really think every Christian needs to try, every time they see their brothers and sisters, to get around to greeting their brothers and sisters, all of them. Get to know them all. And and greet them on a repeated basis, you know, when you see them again anew. And when you leave, send salutations to them, as Paul is doing right here, final salutations to people. So it's the way that God has geared us and set us up to start conversation. We greet them to open it up in a friendly manner. It's amazing how you can walk around in society, and if you will just be to yourself, no one will talk to you. But the moment that you say hello to a person, how are you doing, it opens them up, and now you have channels of communication where you can communicate good things and work on developing relationships for a good end purpose with those people, like inviting them to church, for example, or what have you. And if it's a brother or sister in Christ, like, just encourage them to keep strong in the faith and things like that. One of many verses, you can just bring up verses like some people do. And it's a very good thing to do to encourage other Christians. Hopefully they will be encouraging you as well. So it's a mutual situation. Anyway, it all starts with that simple greeting. And then when you finish it off, you say, have a good day. See you soon. It just changes the entire personality. If a church learns to do that, the entire church can be such a more pleasant place to be, to go to, and to visit, or whatever the case is. But anyway, that's just a side note. One more quick thing. I wanted to make a point about verse 14, the second to last verse. This is a really important statement. He says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. Once again, those lazy Cretans needed reminders. So as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. This is something that every Christian needs to focus on throughout life. To remind ourselves that we must be fruitful Christians. We must bear fruit for God. This is one of many ways to do it. Devote yourself to good works of any kind, of every kind. We must remember not to be unfruitful. Now you think back to churches like Sardis, and those churches, they weren't cutting it. He told them to remember the works you did at first. And he told that to Ephesus too, as well as Laodicea. So similar things. We must be fruitful as Christians. Jesus said in John 15, verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. My Father is a vine dresser. In other words, the one who cultivates vines in the vineyard. Every branch, not most branches, every branch in me. We're talking about Christians and believers. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That's removing branches to enhance production, that it may bear more fruit. I am the vine. He wants us to bear more fruit all the time. It's like the talents, you know. The two needs to multiply it to four, the five to ten. So increase your talents and abilities and your service to God and bear fruit and good works that you do of every kind, that it may bear more fruit. He went on to say in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, connected to me as a branch, abides in me and bears much fruit. If I abide in him, he abides in me, he bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And then he says in verse 6, this is a scary verse, if anyone does not abide in me, that means he's not bearing much fruit, obviously, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's what happens to non-fruit-bearing Christians. So we go back to Titus 3, and he says, you do these good works and not be unproductive, not be unfruitful. You did not choose me, verse 16, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? Go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Just don't bear it. It has to remain and then produce more. Keep producing. that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. All right. So if you want God hearing your prayers, you need to be a fruit-producing Christian. All right. Now, those seven things. These are so important things. So important. Basically, the seven things are: be submissive to authorities. Well, they were Cretans, so they were lazy and unsubmissive to people. Be submissive. Number two, be obedient. Number three, always be ready to be helpful. Does that sound familiar? After all of this emphasis on doing good deeds and helping others and bearing fruit, always be ready to be helpful. Here's the next one. Not talk bad about people. Don't talk bad about people. The next one, don't argue. And then the next one, be courteous to people. Now, with that summary, let's read them real quick. They compose only two verses. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them, Titus, when you're preaching, these are things you need to remind the churches in Crete. To, number one, be submissive to rulers and authorities. So, not to go into this in much detail, but again, Christians should be people who keep the rules. We try to keep the rules. As long as things aren't unethical and not immoral and are things that God would not disapprove of, they fall under the umbrella of what God would consider okay to do, then we need to try to follow the rules of man. You know, an illustration that could be used, if you're on a golf course and it says don't walk off the sidewalks if you're in a certain area, well then stay on the sidewalk. And so many rules could be pointed out that people give. Many of them may seem nonsensical to us, but in respect for others, you know, it's hard to gain the respect of others if you're not following their rules, and we may not agree with all of them, but it's disrespectful, you know, to them if you're not doing the things that they have asked us to do. So, anyway, be submissive to rulers and authorities. Next, to be obedient. That's very closely associated, isn't it? Submit to rulers and authorities, and also be obedient. In general, just learn to be obedient. That's what Peter talks a lot about. Being obedient and submissive. And we need to learn to be the people ready to obey. If someone asks you to do something, then do it. Be obedient. Of course, we know that God has commanded kids to obey their parents. That's not what he's specifically talking about, but that here is the attitude that Christians should be throughout their lives, not just as children, but learn to be obedient people. To be ready for every good work. This is the third of those things that are excellent and profitable for people. Be ready for every good work. Many types of good works are out there to do. Some of them involve helping people on the local level, around the house, around the church. Some of them involve church work and spreading the gospel. But be ready to do every good work. Number four, speak evil of no one. Now, this is a very difficult one to follow all the time, and I need to work on it. But it's one we should even refrain from speaking bad of our leaders, you know. So, and that's a tough one when you live in a country where there is so much corruption in our country. Now, that does not mean that we pretend like it's not true. It just means that we don't speak evil about them. Number five, avoid quarreling. Avoid arguments. Avoid them completely. Just stop arguing. And if you're obedient, then it's less occasion to argue. So avoid arguing. And then next, be gentle. That's the sixth one. And then my favorite in the whole list is number seven, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. What a wonderful verse to keep in mind, a wonderful phrase. Show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, your translation may have rendered it slightly differently. That's the ESV that I'm reading. Show perfect courtesy toward all people. Let's read it from the NKJV. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. This is the NIV. Remind them to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. That's the NIV. The NASB. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Every consideration. And of course, the ESV, which I just read, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And that resonates with me better than some of these other things. Now, we talked about obedient. Obedient means complying or willing to comply with an order or request, submissive to another's authority. So this is something Cretans lacked. They lacked obedience, and all Christians should learn to comply or be willing to comply with an order or request, and submissive to another's authority. Obedient, submissive to another's authority. Now let's talk about that word quarrel. We talked about how he says, don't quarrel. A quarrel is a heated argument or disagreement, typically about a trivial issue, and between people who are usually on good terms. Okay? So quarrel is just a heated argument. Often it boils down to a trivial issue in the end. So, but anyway, avoid quarreling. And then let's talk about that courtesy, showing perfect courtesy to all men. The word courtesy means showing politeness in one's attitude and behavior toward others. So show complete courtesy to all people. In other words, show politeness to all people. Show politeness in one's attitude and behavior toward them. Be respectful or considerate. Okay, respectful and considerate. Be courteous. So courtesy, showing politeness, respectfulness, consideration, being considerate of others. I love that verse. So that's, if you want to be well respected in the world and you're treating people like this, that's going to get you way ahead with a lot of people in the world. So these are seven excellent and profitable things for Christians to apply to their lives. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.